Today is Thursday, the day we read from your letters. Missoula, Montana wildlife biologist Michael Schwartz wrote to complain about our report and its online version dealing with scientists accused of rigging a study of the Canadian lynx. The reports that we broadcast and posted on the NPR website focused on three biologists who took strands of hair from captive lynx and passed them off as samples found in forests. Mr. Schwartz says our report left the impression that he was among the scientists who had collected hundreds of lynx hair samples.
Incorrect, he writes. I used hundreds of high-quality tissue samples and blood because my effort was separate from the National Lynx Survey. Mr. Schwartz goes on to say, you've taken something that was not under controversy and now placed it under controversy.
Michael Szymanski of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, commented on our interview with Interior Secretary Gail Norton.
I take exception to the use of the phrase, the federal government owns 1 in 5 acres of land in America, as quoted by Gail Norton and the ATC interviewer. The federal government merely acts as the steward of these lands for all citizens of the United States.
Many people responded to Bob Garfield's report on the television program World Business Review, a program in which participants pay to be interviewed by the host, Alexander Haig. This is from Sue Schopner of Brookline, Massachusetts. As a high-tech public relations professional, she writes, I've been the object of pitches from WBR over the years in the hopes I'd persuade my clients to sign up for their pseudo-news reports.
Ms. Schopner concludes, word spread pretty quickly among my colleagues in high-tech PR not to fall for those sleazeballs at WBR in Florida.
Jeffrey Fish of Verona, New York, says our interview regarding the death of journalist Daniel Pearl, in Mr. Fish's words, went beyond poor taste.
Was it really necessary to describe in horrific detail the final moments of Mr. Pearl's life as recorded on the videotape received by the U.S. consulate? Doesn't the story of the murder of an innocent American draw up enough emotion without the graphic detail of the act itself? Doesn't his wife and family deserve more respect than that?
Another question, this one from Angela Stockton of Claremont, Florida. Was Elizabeth Arnold drinking hot buttered rum when she was a little girl watching Peggy Fleming win her gold medal? Ms. Stockton adds, that's the only way she could have seen Peggy do a death spiral, which is a pairs move that, by definition, no singles skater, which Peggy was, can do alone.
Shame on you.
This is from Sharon Cochran of Oak Harbor, Washington, about our profile of Annalise Barron, a young chemical engineer at Northwestern University.
At a time when at least some teen magazines are bypassing articles on dieting, what to my distress do I hear but a profile of a female scientist that includes details about her physical size? What does disclosure of the diminutive stature of this woman add to the piece besides a sense of cuteness? Oh well, sign me just another size-neutral female with a doctorate having perhaps a bad hair day.
Thanks for all of your letters. We'd like to hear from you. Our email address is atc@npr.org. Please make sure to tell us where you're writing from and give us a hint about how to pronounce your name.
A week ago, we informed you that Enron has decided to change its name, part of a plan for the remnants of the company to get a fresh start. We talked to an expert on renaming who gave us some good advice, and we turned to you for your suggestions.
We got 500 replies by email, and we now declare the contest over. We're still sorting through the entries. We can give you this preview now and more next week as to the results.
The most frequently chosen new name for Enron is
End Run.
A distant second choice was Rerun.
And we've received many entries along the lines of Take the Money, Enron. Please don't send us any more, but next week we will reveal some more of your clever ideas.
One of the world's most respected four-footed athletes goes under the knife. That story's just ahead when we continue with All Things Considered.